Well, before we pray and dig into the scripture this morning, I want to share something with you fun. There was a young farmer who got married. He and his new bride were enjoying life out on the farm until the mother-in-law came to visit. And she wanted to inspect everything. And she criticized everything and found fault with everything. Finally, she wanted to go and inspect the barn. And as they were going through the barn, she was doing her inspection. Something terrible happened. The farmer's mule kicked her in the head, and it killed her. A few days later, at the funeral service, the old farmer, he was standing near the end of the casket and greeting people as they went by. And every time a woman would come up to him, she would say something to him, and he would nod his head and say something back. And then every time a man would say something to him, he would shake his head and say something back. And the pastor was watching this, and he thought, well, that's really strange. He couldn't help but ask, well, what's going on? What was all that about? And the farmer said, well, every time a woman would come up, she would say, this is a terrible tragedy. And he would nod his head and say, yes, it is. And every time a man would come up, he would say, can I borrow that mule? And he would shake his head no and say he's booked for the year. So, yeah. I know all you guys have great relationships with your mother-in-laws, but I just got one thing to say to you this morning. Get real. Now, we're in a series called Keeping It Real, and so let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this life that you've called us to. And I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's here this morning to work in every heart and life. I ask you, Father, for the help of the Holy Spirit to anoint me, to use me this morning, Lord, to speak life-changing truth. Lord, I pray that every person will know that you have spoken to them today, that we would forever be changed in some way, and you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Keeping it real. There's so much pretending in our world. We want our faith to be real, to be authentic, to be genuine. In Lee Strobel's book, Inside the Mind of Unchurched Harry and Mary, he says, when I walked into church as a skeptical unbeliever, my hypocrisy antenna was scanning the place for the signs that people were just playing church. In fact, I was aggressively on the outlook for phoniness, for opportunism, for deception, because I felt that if I could find an excuse for rejecting the church on the grounds of hypocrisy, I could feel free to reject Christianity as well. And you know, there's a lot of our world that seems to have that same attitude. They look at us and they need to see something real. They're looking for phony. They're looking for hypocrisy. And I'll tell you, church, that we want to be so real, so authentic, that they can't deny that our God is real, that our faith is real, and that our lives have been transformed by a living God. That's what we want. You know, no sincere Christian would just pretend, and yet it's easy for us to find ourselves wearing a mask. We all have faults and flaws. We all struggle in certain areas of our life, and especially at church sometimes, we try to hide all that and we just put on a mask and act like everything is great. But the problem with that pretending is that we never really deal with those issues. You know, the religious people of Jesus' day were great pretenders. They looked good on the outside, but on the inside they were full of everything but good. And I'm just telling you that God's amazing grace is more than enough to deal with our weaknesses and those things that are not right in our life. But we have to be open and honest with Him. We have to be real with God. We have to allow Him to do what He wants to do in our life. Last week, we talked about keeping it real having a real relationship with the Lord. Christianity without a real relationship with the Lord is just an empty religion. You know, there's a lot of religions in this world that maybe could help somebody a little bit, help somebody better their life in some way. And there's a lot of ways that this world will try to reform people. But Jesus transforms people. He doesn't want to just make our lives a little better. No, he wants to give us an abundant life. He wants to transform our life. See, he turns sinners into saints. He turns drug addicts into Jesus fanatics. He turns alcoholics into those who are filled with the Spirit. He takes those that are full of hate and he fills them with his love. The love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. He takes those that are discouraged and despondent, have no hope, and he gives them a hope and a future. Those that are full of worry and stress, he gives a peace that passes understanding. I'm telling you, he can transform a life. Those that are heartbroken, he can heal. Transformation. That's what he does in our lives. That's the kind of a God that he is. He doesn't just make our life a little better, but he transforms our lives. Real Christianity is about changed lives, lives that have been transformed by the power of God. Jesus makes it clear that this life begins with a transformation. In John chapter 3, when he says, "You must be born again." You know, that phrase is oftentimes ridiculed or made fun of in our culture. In fact, there are even Christians who don't really believe that you have to be born again. It's amazing to me that they contradict Jesus. Jesus says you must be born again. It is not just some cliche or Christian jargon that we came up with. No, it is a very bold, plain statement that Jesus makes when he says, "You must be born again." There's a transformation that has to happen in your life. Being born again is the beginning of that transformation. Being born again means that your spirit is born of God. Jesus said, just as you were born of a woman, you must be born of the Spirit. You see, you were born by natural birth of a woman, but you were born a spiritual birth by your heavenly Father. It is that being born again happens just simply by you putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And so when we put our faith and trust in him, we are born of his Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, God comes to live inside of you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a transformation. Notice that it says all things. Now, it's kind of a popular thing with preachers nowadays. When we come across a phrase like that, we like to say all things. What does that mean? Well, it means all things. Well, it does in the context that it's given. But the interesting thing about this passage is when it says all things, if you do a study on this passage and you look at the Greek word for all things or all or things, you'll find nothing. There is no Greek word there. The translators felt that it was inferred all things. And so they put it in there. And I certainly will say that the translators have far more knowledge of Koine Greek than I do or ever will. They know what they're doing. But I just want you to understand that you have to take all things in this passage with the context of a new creation in Christ. Because when you get born again, not everything in your life is new. I mean, if you had a mountain of debt and you got born again, guess what? Now, God can cancel that. God can bless you financially. But just because you got born again, all your debts didn't go away. And God can bless your marriage and restore your marriage. But just because you got born again doesn't mean that all your marital problems automatically got fixed. You see, being born again doesn't automatically fix everything. It is the beginning of a transformation. And there's a transformation that you are a new creation in Christ. But not everything is new. You most likely didn't get a new job, a new car, a new house, a new spouse. And the truth is that you still have to deal with some of the same old issues before you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everything is not automatic. And some people get discouraged and disillusioned because they find themselves still having marital trouble, still sinning, still living too much of that old life, too much like the world, and they get discouraged and they think that maybe this just wasn't for them. Maybe it works for somebody else, but it didn't work for me. I want to tell you, all things become new. That means that in Christ, you have been born of the Spirit of God. You are a new creation. You have a new nature. Now, your soul is not new. If you weren't the brightest bulb before you got born again, you're probably still not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You see, God doesn't just open up our skull and give us a new brain. That would be awesome. We think, you know, but He doesn't turn us into some spiritual computer. Listen. There's a transformation that takes place in our life, but it's not finished the day you got born again. It's just the beginning of the transformation that God wants to do in our life. And so many Christians aren't still growing. They're not becoming more like Him. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And yes, He can save your soul as you receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. But it's not automatic, and it doesn't all happen the day that you got born again. No, that transformation has to continue. He's not finished with you. Aren't you glad? Now, Philippians 1:6 says that He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is still working on you. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, but I do know this. He wants to continue this transformation. If you've stopped growing, He wants to get you going again. He wants to conform you into the image of His Son. But we got to be willing to change. And when I say change, I'm not talking about chasing after every new and strange doctrine that comes along. I'm talking about becoming who He wants us to be. As Romans 8:29 says, being conformed into the image of His Son. It is a transformation that happens from the inside out. I see a lot of people, they would like for God to change their life from the outside. You know, they want different circumstances, or they want God to change this area or this part of their life. But most often, the Lord likes to change our life from the inside out. And it is God that does the work. But I tell you, we have to be willing to open the door. We have to be willing to change. We have a part in this. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God has done for us on the cross, here's the reasonable thing to do. That you turn your life over to God. That you put your life on the altar as a living sacrifice. See, a lot of people say, oh, I would die for the Lord. Will you live for Him? A living sacrifice. This is the reasonable thing to do. And you see, the transformation in our life will be limited if we limit what we turn over to God. We got to be willing to yield our whole life to Him, to let Him have His way. Let His will be done in our life, not just doing what we want. It's not just, you know, we come to God on our terms. No. See, that's the attitude of the religion of the day. We don't come to God on our terms. We come to God on His terms. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Him. And if we want our lives to truly be transformed, then we have to be willing to be that living sacrifice, to truly let Him have His way in our life. Real transformation happens when we turn our lives over to Him. As long as we hold back, as long as we limit Him working in our lives, I tell you, we're really just playing church. The next verse, he says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We are not supposed to be like the world. We're living in a time when it seems like a lot of Christians think the key to reaching the world is to try to act and be as close to the world as we can, but we have Jesus. No. The Bible tells us very plainly, don't be like the world. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. We shouldn't have the same attitudes. We shouldn't say the things the world says. And we certainly should live the way the world lives. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Totally different. Transformed. The Greek word for transformed here is metamorpho. It is the same word where we get our word metamorphosis. It is not just a little change. It is a radical change. A metamorphosis, that we are changed into something totally different. And he says, you see, how does this happen? Read the rest of verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm telling you, this is part of the transformation process that's supposed to go on in the life of every believer, that we are transformed by renewing our mind. That's the way it happens. We have to take the Word of God and change the way we think. Because if we still think the same old way, we're going to end up acting the same old way. We're going to still have the same old rotten attitudes. We're still going to have the same junk coming out of our mouth. I'll tell you, we got to transform our lives by the renewing of our mind. See, if you think like the world, you're going to act like the world, and you're still going to get the same results. most believers don't really live much different than the world around them. In fact, statistically, most believers, their values, their morals are only slightly better than the world around them. And I'm just saying to you, this is a key issue, is that it's not enough to just say, well, I got born again, now I'm waiting to go to heaven. No, He wants to work in our lives. And if we've been serving the Lord for a long time, we need to be becoming like Jesus, because I'm telling you, there's a real transformation that's supposed to be happening in our life. Don't live like the world, he says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word for renewing is like a renovation. When you do a renovation in a house, you know, there are old things that have to be replaced. And we need to hear this now. You got to replace it with something new, with something different. And you know, you can't just stop bad thinking. You got to replace it with something good. You got to replace it with the Word of God. We're living in a time where a lot of Christians have just become lazy when it comes to the Scriptures. But we need to understand, this is life-changing. His words are spirit and they are life. His words are alive and powerful. And oh, how His Word can change us by helping us renew the mind. It transforms our life. In this world, people are always trying to get more. But the Word of God says, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. See, people get bound up with this continual lust for more, this greed, never satisfied, never content, never really happy, never enough. But when we renew our mind with this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, if we just stay in that, keep putting that in our mind over and over, we can get free from that old worldly mentality. So many people full of anger, bitterness, all kinds of malice. And it seems like in the time we're living right now, a lot of Christians think that they're justified in being so. I want you to understand, that is such a bondage. How awful to live angry and full of malice all the time. What a deception of the enemy to steal away your joy and your peace. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get that out of your heart. Listen, that grieves the Holy Spirit. I'm not allowing that in my life anymore. Every time you get mad, every time you get angry, you say, I'm putting that away from me. You take control of your thought life and quit letting it run your life. You see, the Christian rolling down their window, shaking their fist, or doing something worse, cussing at some other driver, acting just like the world, no life change. How's that happen? Starts right here. You got to change the way you think, and your life will be transformed. A lot of people allow the hurts of the past and make their heart hard. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. I'm just giving you a couple of examples. You see, if we'll just take the Word of God, we can renew our mind. It'll change our life. And I know it's not easy to change the way you think. Some of those thought patterns have been there for years, maybe even since you were a child. You've always thought this way, and it can be difficult. It can take time. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It will transform your life if you'll renew your mind. Change is hard sometimes, but it's worth it. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice this. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, there are a whole lot of people that believe in Jesus, but that's as far as they've gotten. And then he says, if you stay in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If you stay in his word, then you really are a disciple instead of a pretend disciple. We want the real thing. We don't want to pretend to be disciples. He says, if you stay in my word, if we're not staying in his word, we're not being a real disciple. If you stay in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And there's something that happens here. You're going to know the truth. He's talking about the truth of God's word. Jesus said, thy word is truth to the Father. I'm telling you, this is the source of truth. This is real truth. And when you know this truth, he said, it'll make you free. It'll change your life when you know the truth. Later in this same passage, he says, verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. And sometimes we like to pull a verse like that out of context, and, you know, we just say, oh, well, Jesus sets me free. That's the end of it. Well, I know that the Lord is your deliverer, that he can set you free from any addiction. He can break any bondage. But in the context of this passage, he tells us that the key here is that we stay in his word. You see, Jesus has won our ultimate victory. And yet we are still in a spiritual war. But for most believers, the greatest battle that they fight is the battle in their own mind, between their flesh and their spirit. And the Bible tells us that the carnal mind cannot please God. No, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to control our minds. It matters what you think. See, a lot of Christians, they lose the battle because they're not even aware that it really matters. They think, oh, it's just thoughts. It doesn't mean anything. Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Has everything to do with the person that you are and the person that you are becoming. But it's hard to change sometimes. You know, nobody likes to change a dirty diaper, but you just got to do it. If you don't, it'll make the car stink. It'll make the room stink. Maybe even the whole house stink until you do it. And there's a lot of people that got some stinking thinking, and it's stinking up some area of their life, and it's going to stay that way until they change it. Some people, they think the whole world stinks, and it's their own thinking that's the problem. So I learned this little saying about 30 years ago. I don't know what you've been thinking, but you got to get rid of your stinking thinking. If you keep on thinking what you've always thought, you're going to keep on getting what you've always got. It's not Scripture, but it sure is based on the principle of Scripture that it's important what you think. And a lot of the time, we struggle because our minds are out of control. Whatever comes at us through the eyes and through the ears and whatever else pops into our head, we just run with it. I'm telling you, we need to take control of our thinking and renew our minds with the Word of God. It will absolutely change your life. My boss hates me. He really does. He told me. He hates me. My boss hates me. Well, what a blessing. Just keep going on and on talking about that, thinking about that. How's that working for you? Here's what we do instead is we renew our mind with the Word of God and we say, Jesus said to love my enemies. Even if my boss is my enemy, I'm going to love my boss The Bible says that love overcomes. Love never fails. I'm going to love my boss. I'm just telling you, it'll change you, make you into a different kind of person. Everybody else is griping and complaining. Oh, there's another one. You know how people like to complain about the boss? All the employees get together and talk about the boss, and students do it about the teachers. All complaining, 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 and the Christians join right in. We're not any different. We're just complaining, complaining. How about if we renew our mind with the Word of God, and in everything we give thanks? We just find a way, instead of complaining, to give God thanks. I'm thankful today that I have a job, Lord. I'm thankful today that this teacher, man, it's tough, but I guess they're preparing me for life. I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm talking about renewing your mind, and it changes your life. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Great are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So you got thoughts of despair and hopelessness, but then you remember what he said, that he has plans for us, not to harm us, but to do us good, to give us a hope and a future. You think nothing ever good comes your way? Well, you wouldn't notice it if it did. You got to change the way you think. Realize that you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. He created you to be an overcomer. That's real transformation. Real transformation. We need this next passage. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at 17 through 24 quickly. He says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He's not talking about the way you carry yourself. He's talking about the way you live your life. You're no longer going to live like the rest of the Gentiles. And here it comes, in the futility of their mind. You see what's wrong with most people? They're so messed up. You know why they're so messed up? They got messed up thinking. In the futility of their mind. The NIV says the futility of their thinking. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, everything is not automatic when you get born again. And in this real transformation that happens in our life, we have a responsibility. The Holy Spirit helps us. But we have to put off that old man. He says, put off the old man. There's something that we're supposed to do. Those old thought patterns, that old nature, the old attitudes, and certainly the old ways, we got to put that off. Verse 22. And then verse 24, he says, and put on the new man, created in righteousness and holiness. Put it on. There's something we got to do. Be clothed with Christ. Put on those new attitudes. Put on that new way of thinking, new way of living, new way of talking. You put it on. And you see, where we miss it a lot of time is we leave out verse 23. We try to put off that old man and we try to put on the new man, but we fail because we left verse 23 out. Verse 23 is pretty simple. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The NIV says, in the attitude of your mind. You got to change the way you think. You got to have a whole new attitude. You're not going to think this old way anymore. You're going to put all that stuff off. You got a new attitude. You're thinking a different way now, and you put on the new man. You want your life to be transformed. You want real transformation in your life. I'm telling you, that part of that transformation continues as you renew your mind with the Word of God. It doesn't happen overnight, but if you'll renew your mind with God's Word, I'm telling you, it will absolutely transform your life. And oh, how wonderful when you're truly free and God does such a work in your life. Some of those areas that you've struggled and struggled and struggled, maybe for 30 years, I'm telling you, God can transform your life in that area. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how wonderful it is for us, but also, that's what this world needs to see. They need to see that what we have is real. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." That's who we are. We are the salt of the earth. He says, if it's lost its flavor, it's not worth anything. You see, what this world needs is not Christians who will just blend in. They need Christians whose lives have truly been changed. That when we're around them, they see there's something different. They see the peace we have. They see the joy, the abiding joy. They see that we don't have that greed. They see that we don't act lustful. We don't say the things that the world says. They see that we're truly different. He goes on, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." He's not talking about a bubbly personality. He tells us exactly what he's talking about here. He says, "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." This world needs to see people whose lives have been truly transformed by the power of God. They need to see that the way we live is different. Oh, that God's hand is on our life, that He's blessed us, and that our lives truly have been changed. We got to be a light in a dark place. I know that a lot of believers are discouraged because it seems like our world just gets darker and darker, but I'm telling you, it is time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine. It is time for us as God's people to let the world know there's a better way, that there is a God that loves them who can change their lives. And I'll tell you, He wants to use us to do that. He wants to use you. But we got to have real transformation. See, when the world takes, we give. When the world brags, we give God praise. When the world complains, we give thanks. When the world demands, we offer. When the world wants to take charge, we're willing to serve. Oh, the world needs to see this. And if maybe there are some people that you've witnessed to and you've talked to about the Lord before and they just haven't come around, I want to tell you something that will speak to them and touch their life. If they see that God is still working in your life, that there's still a transformation, you might have known them 20 years, but they see that God is doing a new thing in you, that He's still working in your life. I'm telling you, that'll stir people, that'll touch people. But He wants to use us. We got to have real transformation. I want you to stand with me. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank You, Lord, that You have called us to this wonderful life. And Father, that You love us so much that in all of our weakness and all of our failures and mistakes, Lord, that Your grace is sufficient. Lord, that You are still working in us. And I pray, Father, that every person in this room would know that God is at work in their life. I pray, Father, that not one would hold back. Lord, that we would all present ourselves as living sacrifices. And I pray, Father, for those that have been bound, for those that have been held by the enemy in some way, that freedom will come today as they know truth. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. So we